Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 15, Number 7. In the last edition of Clinical Review, my topic was PSN, Number 34, Traditional Native Diets. Native indigenous people have lived off the land, air, and sea as hunters and gatherers by necessity since the beginning of our species. The common thread associated with the good health of Native people everywhere is natural whole food nutrition obtained from both plants and animals. Humans are omnivores as determined by biological science and evolution. If you have a problem with that, you have a problem with the science of biology. Dr. Weston Price is just one of several research scientists to verify the decline of health in people who switch from traditional whole food diets to modern diets consisting of micronutrient depleted, refined, and mechanically processed plastic food. As prehistoric humans transitioned from hunting and gathering to farming roughly about 10,000 years ago, and slowly began consuming processed flour and sugar as staples over time with the invention of grinding stones and mills, things got worse for both humans and the planet. Displacement of traditional whole food with modern refined food in humans leads to increased risk of infection, weakened immune function, diminished reproductive capacity, obesity, and a high incidence of heart disease, cancer, and diabetes. So in basic terms, if you want to be well, you have to eat and live well. You have to use food standards similar to those used by our ancestors. Maintaining a high standard of whole food nutrition for the rest of your life and making sports, exercise, and physical work a top priority is the only way to stay well and function at your peak. On this edition of Clinical Review, my topic is nutritional genomics. Nutritional genomics is a genetic science that studies the relationship between our genome, nutrition, and health. In modern molecular biology and genetics, a genome is the genetic material of an organism consisting of DNA. The genome includes both the coding and non-coding region of the genes. Only about 20,000 genes of our entire genome are identified as coding genes directly involved with the synthesis of protein, but we still have much to learn and much more to discover. Nutritional genomics is divided into two related but separate disciplines. The first one is nutrigenomics. Nutrigenomics studies the biochemical effects of nutrients on health through altering our genome. Nutrigenomics is a modern discovery science that targets the understanding of how nutrition, which is an outside external environmental factor, influences our homeostasis and metabolic pathways, and how this regulation is disturbed in the early phases of many diet-related diseases. The second field of nutritional genomics is nutrigenetics. Nutrigenetics studies the effect of genetic variations on the interaction between diet and health. It examines the individual differences we have in our genes, specifically the 10 million SNPs or single nucleotide polymorphisms we all possess in our genome, and how these unique differences influence the body's response to diet and nutrition. So nutritional genomics is made up of how our genes inside respond to the environment and how the environment, specifically food, light, air, sunshine, affects the genes inside of us. And that interaction is enormously complex and it's going on and it's happening and it's real. Now, I love nutritional genomics because as a new branch of science, it's vindicating everything I learned about health, nutrition, and diet over 40 years ago in the natural health food industry. And what did I learn? I learned that we're supposed to consume whole natural food that's compatible with our being, in this case, with our genome. The very best way is to eat similar to how our paleo ancestors ate, because they ate better than we do today. They ate out of necessity. There was no refined, plastic, altered, sterile, dead food. It was just meat and vegetables, plants and animals. That's it. And it was fresh and raw. You just catch it and eat it. I mean, you can't do it any better than that. Or maybe we will in the future if we get replicators. But right now we're doing a terrible job. We're feeding on food that doesn't even deserve to be called food. Food is information. Gene expression is modified by the action of nutrients and bioactive food components. And this modification can occur directly or indirectly. Today, food has been redefined as information. So how was your information when you say lunch or dinner? Because that's what it is. And this information alters cellular function after its consumption. The messages received are translated to cells via a complex web of enzymes called kinases, which, through their activation or inhibition, alter genetic expression of the cell and change its function in response to the message. Different message, different effect. Food sends signals to genes through a process known as cell signaling. In many ways, this process has a greater effect on the outcome of our health than the genome or the hardware itself. So our DNA, or the hardware of our genome, is not what determines our destiny, at least not most of it. Some of it does, obviously, like our height and our gender, things like that. But the development of the phenotype and its expression is largely related to the environment and its influence. So make the environment good. The good news is that we can control the outcome of our very existence and health by changing what we eat and how we live. Nutrigenomics has helped us question outdated nutritional dogma and put to death many outdated paradigms such as food is just a calorie is just a calorie, and certain foods cause disease no matter what you do unless you have genes to intervene and protect you. So in other words, if you're not lucky, there's nothing you can do about it. We now know that food is loaded with information signals and that a calorie must be judged on the context from which it comes from, and that our genome is continually interacting with dietary signals in which certain foods enhance a beneficial, neutral, or negative effect on our genes. So you see, food is plastic, like our mind, our brains, our muscle. We're plastic, living in a plastic environment. Lots of room for change and upgrading, improvement, or a slide down the wrong side. The wild card in all of this is epigenetics, in which through the process of methylation, our total environment, including food, air, water, and even our emotions, can change and does affect how our genes express themselves or not. Now, a word on methylation, because methylation is difficult for all of us to understand. It's just not used generally in day-to-day conversation. Methylation denotes the addition of a methyl group. Okay, so that's what we think of a methyl group, and there's different kinds and types of methyl groups. And the addition of this methyl group on a substrate, the thing it's acting on, or the substitution of an atom or group by a methyl group, so they can substitute for other types of groups that would be there if the methyl group wasn't, and in the absence of the methyl group, another group that might not be ideal is there. So methyl groups can be removed, and this is called demethylation. So here's one way of thinking of this in simple terms. Think of billions of little on-off switches inside your body that control everything from your stress response and how your body makes energy from food to your brain chemistry and detoxification. That's methylation and demethylation, turning on and off like light switches, billions of them. It's a process with a pathway, and we're learning about this pathway, and you can actually study it specifically online. You can watch videos on the process of methylation. It's very important to health. In biological systems, methylation is catalyzed by enzymes. It's involved in the modification of heavy metals, the detoxification of hormones, the regulation of gene expression, the regulation of protein function, and the processing of RNA, messenger DNA. Methyl groups control our response to stress, the production and recycling of glutathione, what some call the master antioxidant in the body, the process of inflammation and how we respond to it, balancing of brain chemistry, energy production, and the repair of cells damaged by free radicals. Methyl groups also get involved with immune response. They influence and control T cell production, which fight off infections and defend healthy cells against virus and bacterial invasion. If we have a shortage of methyl groups, or our methylation cycle is interrupted for any number of reasons, we can easily fall out of sync and get sick or feel weak. Research has clearly linked impaired methylation with many of today's strange and outright weird autoimmune conditions. Of course, there's an application here with sport in terms of recovery, the energy that you need to go into a workout, the state of mind that you need. All of that is relative to methylation and demethylation. But when all systems are go, our body makes its own glutathione from the amino acids cysteine, glycine, and glutamine, then recycles it via methylation using methyl donors like vitamin B12, folate, B6, and betaine. Under normal conditions, the body makes and recycles enough glutathione to handle all the toxins that we're supposed to. However, if we have a high toxic body burden or a part of the methylation cycle is disrupted, we can fall prey to any number of possible medical conditions. From a natural food point of view, the best way to improve our methylation pathways begins with the consumption of greens. Green is gold for 1,000 different reasons. The deeper the green, the better. The more green, the better. Juice your greens, eat your greens, steam your greens, green salads, green, green, green. We can't get enough of it. Where there is green, there is life. Where there's green, it's alkaline, it's magnesium rich, it's enzyme rich. Other foods known to improve methylation are foods rich in folate, B6, B12, and B2, these methyl donors. And they include meat, fish, eggs, leafy greens, asparagus, almonds, sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, walnuts. Both plants and animals from nature are where the action is happening for healthy function and methyl donation. So like it or not, we must all assume responsibility for the process of obtaining what we need. This is the CHI Prime Directive exemplified. Supply your biological demand. Just keep those four words in mind. That's all you have to learn, memorize, and know. Supply your biological demand. Knowing the signal and information effects of food on our genes has changed the rules of the game. In theory, this knowledge should give us the incentive, strength, and power we all need to follow the right course of action. Life is a sport, and if we play the game according to the rules revealed and defined in physics and biology, we will succeed at being well. We will achieve our goal of optimum health and wellness. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from David Perlmutter, American physician and author of the bestseller, Grain Brain. The food we eat goes beyond its macronutrients of carbohydrates, fat, and protein. It's information. It interacts with and instructs our genome with every mouthful changing genetic expression.